This is Relationship, a podcast presenting a gay look at traditional relationships and values.
With your hosts, the Cratellis. I'm Marco.
And I'm Tony.
We're back in the saddle again.
I'm not going to do a Steve Tyler impersonation.
Thank you. I think the world thanks you for that.
But if I was going to, it might sound like this.
I hope it doesn't. Save me. How are you?
I'm well. Happy Woot Woot Wednesday. How are you?
I'm wooting.
But are you double wooting? Because it requires two woots. No, it is Woot Woot Wednesday.
It's a singular Woot Wednesday for me.
That makes me a sad panda.
I have a really bad headache. It's this weather.
Don't New you York, just live with that?
Yes, I do live with you.
Oh, but okay. I will give you that one only because it was really quick.
But
I am a delight, for the record.
See, my headache prevented me from having a very good comeback for that.
Is it, or is it your poor sense of humor that prevented it?
It's my headache, I promise you, because I have a couple. This weather is just causing me some issues, and I just don't enjoy her. No. So it's just been a little bit of a problem, but I'm happy. I'm so happy.
Because the apartment's done?
It's so good right now. Yeah, we finally have our apartment back. Holler.
It's the funniest thing. We literally unpacked in like 20 minutes. 2 days. And then we had to wait a month for furniture. And then the furniture came, and like, no joke, like an hour later, we were done again.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't mess around.
Yeah. Well, no, I like my OCD and craziness will not allow for me to like
live out of boxes.
Mm-hmm. I just can't. It's just not something I can do.
And when I say we were done in 2 days, I mean the artwork was hung up too.
Oh, yeah. Like literally, like day one. It's crazy. So, no, we are crazy.
We are.
And I'm okay with it. It's fine. It's whatever. I live a happy life. I love everything about it. No, I love the apartment. I think the apartment is incredible. Like, we're good. We're finally unpacked. We have an amazing bedroom. If you guys follow me on Instagram, I gave you a nice little tour of the apartment in my stories.
You didn't put it on our page?
No, I probably should have.
You should.
But, man.
Be on the lookout for that.
Maybe. I don't know.
I just promised the people something you have to do.
I mean, maybe I'll do it on the Cratellis. I don't want to do it on the relationship.
No, I'm talking about the Cratellis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Be on the lookout.
Mm-hmm. Go to the Cratellis.
Maybe we'll bless your timelines with our stuff.
Oh, Lord.
That could be.
Bless me with your silence.
That was almost creative. Points for effort. So yeah, that's been about it. That's going on here. Thanksgiving was fun. We had a Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving was lovely.
Yeah. Thank
the
you guys
was amazing.
For being so patient with us for not coming out with an episode last week. I'm not going to lie. Like, we were slightly, and by we, I mean, I was slightly overwhelmed and just could not put forth the effort last week into making anything happen.
Yeah. Between moving and family stress and the holidays being the weird thing that they were and moving.
Yeah, I just could not.
Yeah, you were not. And it. You are never Mr. I'm not into it. You're Mr. like, let's go. We're going to do this. We got to get it done. Like, yay, rah, rah, woot, woot.
Yeah.
And you were like, I don't want to.
I literally could not find the effort. Like, she was literally a missing person. Like, I was. It was
Effortisha. Have you seen me?
No, she was gone. I like, there was just no way. And so I like even thinking about like sitting down and recording and editing, because it's not just
talking.
Always speak into a microphone, right? And
it's so easy.
Podcast.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's not how it
there's
goes.
Research and there's preparation, and the room has to be set up for the sound to be appropriate, and then there's testing, and then there's the actual recording, and then there's the editing,
and then there's the editing,
and then there's the posting, and then there's the copy.
Oh my God, there's just
it's
so
tons.
And I was like, I want none of it. I want absolutely none of it. And so, you know what I did? I gave that to myself. I said, nah, girl.
I think our fans like us enough to where they're okay with you giving that to yourself.
I mean,
write us in if we're wrong.
They had no choice.
Oh. But
They had no choice. It's over. It was last week. It was done. But like, no, we have a new.
You probably shouldn't talk bad about them. They had a choice to listen to a different podcast.
I'm not speaking badly about them. I'm just saying they had no choice. Like, it was what it was. We weren't putting out an out episode, and that's just going to be what it's going to be. That said, we're back, and I won't say we're shiny, but we're alive.
I mean, we're clean.
Only one of us can say that. I'll let the listeners decide which one that is. I think after our game of the ultimate clapback, we know which one it is. Not.
I bathe regularly. Thank you. Every day. Every day.
No, that's funny. The ultimate clapback. We love you. You guys should be a sponsored ad on the...
Ooh.
They're so good.
I like it.
They're so good. I love that. So that's what we've been up to. It's been a good time. What have we done? So when this episode airs, you guys have to listen to us again on the Category Is podcast, because we were guests on that as well. And then coming up soon, we'll give you details soon.
Yes.
But we are also going to be on the Derek and Romaine podcast as well.
Both are very exciting.
Oh, yeah. So we've got a lot of good stuff. So you guys have to make sure to check us out on some of these other platforms and
listen to their podcasts
and listen to their podcasts, because they're
very good,
very brilliant.
Yeah, and if you're looking for some more queer content, it's really unique stuff.
Yeah, so that's gonna be fun. So we'll keep you posted on that. Check us out on the Instagram and on
of course we'll post on social media when all that stuff comes out.
Even on our website, we might give them a little bit of a little banner.
I don't know, maybe he's got his energy back, folks.
Maybe I'll pop out a little banner.
Is that like popping out a boob?
Kinda. Kinda.
See if you can spot the nipple in the image that Marco produces. Perhaps one will have a piercing.
You lucky hoes.
Guess who doesn't love a good boob?
I mean, side boob is like my favorite thing in the world.
It's side boob, but it's a distant second.
Under boob is really good too.
As I call it, the bottom of the jubbly. When you have that like crop top shirt that just shows the bottom and no bra, you can have my credit card.
One of my favorite Beyonce covers is when I think she's on the cover. It's either GQ or Details. I'm almost certain it's actually, now I'm thinking about it, I think it's Details. And she's wearing like football gear and she has like a crop top football jersey on, and you can just see her underboob.
I'm going to need you to pause this recording and go get that magazine.
It's literally in the living room.
Like, I'm going to need to see it.
I literally have it all the time. It's like my favorite. And I just love, I'm like, this woman is just brilliant.
That sounds incredibly
hot. It's so good. Maybe we should get to the hashtag gay relationship goals. What do you think?
I'm sure. Why not?
We have, well, God, sound a little bit more enthused. Jesus. This is part of what the podcast is, yeah?
I guess.
Oh my God. I'm sorry to this week's hashtag GRG, Tony.
I'm not. I'll make it up to you, because I think you are amazing beasts of men.
Well, let me get to it. How about that? A reminder, every week, Tony and I will pick a wonderful queer couple and highlight them as our hashtag gay relationship goals. Our hope is to bring these relationships to the forefront and give a sense of positivity and perspective to the gay relationship narrative. If you and your partner are interested in becoming our hashtag gay relationship goals, or if there's a queer relationship that you admire and would like to bring to our attention, please reach out to us. Tag us on some of your adorable couples photos on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Our handle is @podrelationship. Tony and I will take a look at these photos and posts and could potentially highlight you and your partner on an episode of the podcast. So this week, as Tony has already mentioned, because spoiler alert, that's what Tony does, we're highlighting a couple of beastly men. Like, and by beastly I mean like they're gargantuan.
Yeah, they're not beastly because they're very well groomed.
No, I mean incredibly well groomed, but they're like massive.
I've never seen men this big that were not bodybuilders.
I mean, they practically are.
They're big boys.
Yeah. And so we are talking about the relationship of Roger and Chris Hazard. But you can follow that. There are so many social media links that you can follow them on. So I'm going to give them all to you, but of course, we'll link them in the show notes for you to actually follow them. But Roger is Roger Hazard Official on Instagram. So that's at Roger Hazard Official. His man, who is Chris Stout Hazard, he's on Instagram as at Stout Hazard. That's STOUTHAZARD.
For those who couldn't spell those words.
I mean, I feel like stout might be very hard for someone to spell.
No? Okay.
No? Mm. Is that not difficult?
Mm.
Maybe I'm just...
Maybe you're just pretty.
Or maybe I just have no faith in our listeners. Or their education.
There you go, coming for the listeners again. That's twice.
I mean, that wasn't intentional. Uh-huh. But, like, it's just funny. Anyways. So, yeah, you can follow Chris Stout Hazard there. And then they have two adorable red golden doodles named Rowdy and... I'm sorry. I mixed their names together. Howdy and Rooster. Howdy and Rooster, and I just called them Rowdy.
Hooster.
Rowdy and Hooster. No, they're Howdy and Rooster, and they're adorable, and I just love them so much. They're so cute. They're they're brownish, like reddish golden doodles.
Yes, I'm sure your pet ovaries are just shaking.
Sad. Well, you know, I've always wanted a brown animal. We have a blonde dog, we have a black cat, and so I want... a brown animal.
Or a gray one.
Or a gray one.
Because I want gray everywhere. It's my impression of you.
Sensing a little hostility. and I'm not into it.
A little. Let me turn it up for you so it's really clear.
Well, let me throw my phone in your face and let's see
how you can throw your face in my face. I'll give you a smooch.
Oh, good Lord. Anyways, let's talk about these guys. So I am obsessed with them.
Yeah,
it's like they're cool. So not only
they're like every anti-stereotype rolled into one,
every single one of them.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, they're behemoth. Like, they're huge. Chris alone could probably bench press the two of us together.
Oh, he could probably bench press our apartment.
What's funny is I was gonna say that initially, and then I was like, no, I mean, let's not talk about the apartment anymore. but no, Chris is massive.
And gorgeous
and beautiful. He's a very, very handsome man.
Yeah.
And then his
husband,
who is Roger, is another very well-built older man and just gorgeous as well. He is, like, absolutely beautiful.
They're both just incredible people who... Here's the thing about them. So, all right. So, they are warm, lovely, interesting people, first and foremost. Then they're big and beefy. Then they own their own business. Then they're in interior design and furniture building. And exterior building and architecture and all kinds of stuff. Like, they are the handiest people. Then they have great gardens. Then they have great pets. And to top it all off, they posted a picture, which is Cereal Mom, which is just the cherry on top for me.
Oh,
we're good to go. These are my guys. Cherry on top. These are my guys. Oh, and where do they live?
In Nebraska.
In Nebraska.
Which
you
is
would
like
not expect any of
thing.
This.
No.
Break down all the barriers, boys.
Yeah, and it's interesting. And they also have like a blog called Double Heart. And they're just, I don't know, they're very aspirational. Like, I look at them and I'm like, this is what I want relationship to turn into, right? Mm. Like, this like business, right? This like whole thing that we're able to actually like make a thing. I just am very fascinated by them. And super, I don't know, impressed. I think that they're just incredible. And I just really love them.
I need you guys to write in and tell us the story of how you met. Because that is the piece I was not able to snoop. And I want to know. I want to know how this all started. I see where it's at right now. And it's incredible. And I think for our listeners and for my own just personal interest, I would like to know how this started.
I would like to know if I can get a discount on a new couch.
I would like them to not answer that.
Don't be hating. Their couches are gorgeous, and
they are. You don't need one.
I mean, we could get a new one for this den.
No, we just got a new one for the living room.
So we might as well keep going with that momentum. Anyways, you guys, please follow them on Instagram. They are, I'm not going to go through them all because there's just so many of them, but follow at Roger and Chris on Instagram. You can follow Chris Stout Hazard at Stout Hazard. And then Roger is at... Oh, see, now I got confused because I don't remember which one was that I've already said. We're talking about Rogers, Roger. Right? That's who we're missing right now. Yeah, that's, and I can't find his
Roger
right
Hazard. Check Roger the show notes.
At Roger Hazard Official.
There you go.
There you have it, folks.
It was in there somewhere.
Oh, it's a very, very tough one. Anyways, we love you all. We're going to take a short break and we'll be back in just a bit when Tony and I decide to try to solve the world's problems, Critelli style.
Ta-ta for now.
Ta-da.
Hey everyone, it's your favorite podcast host, Tony.
And Marco.
If you haven't already, head to podrelationship.com for more Critelli content related to the podcast.
Check out our weekly hashtag gay relationship goals.
Highlight a queer biz you love.
Listen to episodes of the podcast.
Check out my monthly blog.
Submit listener situations.
Watch episodes of Relationship.
And sign up for our weekly newsletter.
PodRelationship.com is a labor of love and our way of giving you all relationship content throughout the week.
So head to PodRelationship.com right now and get more Critelli and relationship content you never knew you needed.
See you all there.
Bye.
I think we all know that I'm not much for the social medias. If you all have even listened to the podcast for a second, then you know tweeting and trending are foreign concepts to me.
Yes, babe. We are all aware of your aversion to anything that even remotely resembles a hashtag or DM.
But I do know that Relationship has some amazing content on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And that is all thanks to my husband, because I want no part of it.
Well, thank you, I think. Mm-hmm. Yes. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We are at PodRelationship on all social media platforms.
There you can check out our hashtag gay relationship goals for the week.
You can be inspired by some of our queer quotes and corresponding song lyrics.
You can also read reviews, catch glimpses of us, and even check out the week's guests.
So head to Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook and follow us. We are at PodRelationship on all platforms.
We look forward to your double taps and comments, even though I have no idea what that means.
Just quit while you're ahead.
You got it.
All right, so here's a question for you.
I'm ready.
Were you ever a hooker? Upper?
Anticipation?
I designed it that way on purpose.
It certainly wasn't an accident.
It felt so much better to ask you if you were a hooker and than a hooker upper. I just enjoyed that more.
Mm-hmm. I was never anti-hooking up. I definitely have hooked up several times. But they were always organic situations. So I wouldn't say I was like a part of hookup culture, but I wasn't anti. So I definitely did it, as I said, a few times. My line to people, because I definitely did some like online dating, but it was like back in the day when it was, you know, chat rooms
in front of a computer screen,
right? And so my patent line to everyone who tried to, you know, just jump on it was, I'm sorry, I can't get it up for strangers. And that was always my truth. Like, it literally was a thing. Like, I just can't get into it if I don't know you. Like, there's no one who's so hot that I will get like completely out of my head and completely into their body. Like, that's just not a thing. Like, I need to know you. I need to be attracted to you on multiple levels. Like, I need to, you know, I need to feel like I'm doing something that matters, is the word that comes to mind, you know?
I mean, sex is God's work.
That's why so many people call out their name when they do it.
Exactly. It's a religious experience.
Oh, God. Oh, God. But when I hooked up, it was definitely organic. Now, I will say too that I was never a person who waited a specific amount of time to have sex when I was dating someone. So it was extremely rare that I had sex on the first date, but it was not many dates after that before we were having sex, probably somewhat regularly.
Which is interesting because you and I waited like over a month.
Depends on your definition of sex, because it's true. I hooked up the night we met.
Well, we enjoyed one another, yes.
I mean, but you enjoyed yourself. I did too. I'm just saying, I know you did.
Sir.
Yes?
I was never... I think we all know, because I've stated it hundreds of thousands of times on this podcast, I was Mr. Maker Outer. Like, I made out with just about everyone.
You were, as I call it, Sir Smooch.
Oh, I was called a tongue slut often, but I like your title a lot.
Sir Smooch. Sir Smooch a lot.
I feel like I can't wait to get knighted.
Sir Smooch them all.
No, which is, because I just enjoyed kissing. I just like to kiss. Kissing is just fun to me. So I did quite a bit of that. And then I don't know. So it's interesting because in the mid 90s to like the 2000s, there like early 2000s, there was this concept of like your number, right?
Right.
Like
you wanted it to be low.
You wanted to protect your number and you wanted to make sure that it was low because the idea was that like whomever you married, like you weren't going into your marriage with this like crazy number, right? And I think that a lot of my life was based on that. I think a lot of my life was based on the concept of like, don't go crazy. Like, you don't want to have a big number, because I think that people will think less of you because of it. So
it was definitely a thing.
I did not do a ton of, like, I did not hook up a lot. Like, there was, I know every single person that I've ever been with, I knew who they were. Now, if they started out random is one thing, but like I generally like had a thing with them after that, right? Like
that was true for me too. There was one exception. There was this guy I never got his name ever. And it was just one of those things, like we barely exchanged words. Like I just saw him like across the, so I was living in Florida and the bar was like, you know, this open area. And so when you say I saw him across the bar, it's not like I saw him like across a long bar. It's like I saw you across the length of a building.
At what point in time was this?
I said Florida. I'm sorry. Arizona.
Got it.
Woody's was the name of the bar. And I saw him across and like he just like did this like coy leaning over, I know you're looking at me, I'm looking at you too thing. And I honestly don't even remember how it happened, but like without exchanging words, he was just back at my place. Like it was a thing. And then that was it. And then it was like months later and it happened again. Same kind of scenario, same kind of like no words exchanged. I honestly don't even remember, like, was he in my car? Did he follow me? Like, it was just one of those, like, purely animalistic things. But other than that, it's always been the same for me, where, like, I know you. We've exchanged lots of words. I know things about you. Like, I have to feel a connection.
So it wasn't necessarily that I knew you prior to the hookup. It was that, like, we hung out the night at the bar. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, we had like a 5 to 8 hour bar experience, right. And like I got to know you and like enjoy you, and I was buying drinks and you were buying drinks and we were laughing and it was a good time out. And we were making out and it was like fun and we were dancing and we were talking, and then that would happen. But that's only happened really like twice. Like it's not like this like gigantic number or anything like that, but yeah, no, I just wasn't the person that did a lot of hooking up. I just was never comfortable with it. It just was never my thing. And I don't know why, and I don't know there's not, I can't say that I like regret it. Like, I'm not like, I don't like sit back and look at it and I'm like, gosh, I wish, but there is an element of me that feels like I missed out on hookup culture. So in case you guys don't know what we're talking about today, but at this point we're talking about hookup culture and how especially within gay culture there is this element of hooking up, right? There's this huge push for especially the gays to have casual sex with one, and there's nothing
with multiple partners, not just casual sex, but like one time casual sex and then another one time and then another one time and
sure,
then another one time.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. And if you can get them all in one room together, then like let's make that happen too.
No, there are orgies, yeah.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. It's fine. And look, this is a judgment-free episode, just so everyone knows. This has the Tony and I as an old married couple have no
Who's old?
You for sure. Tony and I have no judgments or thoughts about the way other people live their lives because, quite frankly, I don't give a fuck like about what you do in your spare time. Or
especially because one of us is engaged in it more than the other.
What do you mean?
Well, multiple partners, that whole business.
We both come with
experiences.
Mm-hmm. So I like not your experience is not. More I think I've shared to you with you at one point in time I actually there's a part of me that kind of feels like I slightly have the upper hand with you because I feel like a lot of your experiences were like very early phases experiences where mine kind of happened a little bit later, and so I think that I like bodies rubbing together because that's all your hormones know what to do is not the same as like you really being with someone that you're really into being with. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's this whole thing. And look, I don't know what you've done or who you've done in your past or anything of that nature. And it's fine. I don't need to know. Cause quite frankly, I could give two shits.
Right.
But, I know who you've done recently. so
just you.
Yeah, right. But that being said, I don't I do like while I think that yeah, sure, you can have these high numbers and all of this like sex and things like that, but like if you really were to like look at your pie chart of sex, like what percentage or what slice of that pie chart was actually like really good moments or like really like elevated situations that like took place.
Right.
And so like, I can like look at the amount of people that I've hooked up with and I can say that like, I pretty much, I won't say I batted 1,000, but like, I pretty much have like a good situation. I don't have any bad sex situations.
I do.
I don't. I honestly don't. I don't because I was, again, I was discerning enough to be able to understand that, like, if it wasn't vibing for me, I was real good at being like, yeah, this is not going to work for me. Like, even though we just spent the entire night making out, like, my whole being doesn't feel good about this situation. Make sure you lock the door on your way out. Like, I was real good at doing that.
Mm.
And not following through with it. And I was okay with that because my hormones and how horny I was at that point in time was not going to supersede my, I don't want to use the word morals because that would indicate
Implay immorality.
Immorality in any other way.
I feel you.
But like my self-awareness was stronger than my horniness.
Well, there's also an implication of expectation that you just don't adhere to. So, you know, most people think that if you leave with me, I have sealed the deal. And yours is like, nah, you ain't sealed the deal till you sealed the deal.
Mm-hmm.
So you could make it all the way back to your apartment. You could make it even from your couch to your bed. But it until everything was off and things were starting, that was not the end for you.
No.
And you have told people, yeah, this is as far as this is going to go. As you said, lock the door on your way out, implying that they're already in your apartment.
Yeah.
So that's, that I think is different because a lot of people, that's not... What's interesting about gay people is sometimes just the act of engaging in conversation is the deal sealer for some people. And that's the part I've always had a hard time with, yeah. is I was just talking to you. Yeah. All I was doing was acknowledging your existence as a human being. I did not give you permission to touch me or to think that we were going to have sex.
Yeah. It's just weird. And it's just one of those things that I just don't, I just did not engage in, and I was okay with it. I never felt guilty about that. Like I never, right. it was never one of those things that was like difficult for me, but, and again, this is not a shamey episode, just so everyone knows. I actually envy the people that are able to go out there and put themselves out there for others and, you know, able to give and or receive and acknowledge their pleasure.
And fully express your sexuality with someone you don't know very much about.
Yeah. I actually think it's
beautiful.
Incredible. I would love to have a Rolodex. Okay, for our young listeners.
A Rolodex is.
A Rolodex used to be this item that sat on your work desk that had these little file cards on them that contained the name, phone numbers, and if you were lucky, the email addresses.
Very lucky. But physical addresses.
Physical addresses.
And the name of the company.
And the name of the company and all this
and then
stuff.
We got smart and we started stapling cards to them, business cards to them. So you didn't have to write them out yourself.
You never had to worry about that.
So fancy.
Yeah, but it used to be your
big
little
old rotating
file.
Plastic.
If you lost your Rolodex, you lost your...
Everything.
Your, like, touch
all your
to the real
contacts.
World. Your business contacts were completely gone, so... But no, I would.
For the record, I never had a Rolodex.
I had a Rolodex. I for sure had a Rolodex.
Oh,
yeah.
Lord.
But I.
He's so old.
I used to be. I would love to have been, you know, the gay that had this like Rolodex of
or
experiences or little black book of all of these guys that I or you know people that I got to experience at certain points in time times in my life, but I. Don't. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
and
I'm not wired that way either. And more power to you for being that way.
Yeah. I love this generation of gay. I told you, one of the things that's like super bizarre to me now is that there's this like generation of gays these days that like legitimately like go have sex with a person with the full intention of like recording them. Everyone records their sexual experiences these days.
Oh.
Everyone. Like
that's the thing, huh?
It's everyone. Everyone like literally goes to bed and like puts a camera like and records having sex. Like no one gets a BJ anymore without recording the person slobbing their knob. Oh. Like it's like the it's like
look at you saying knob slobber.
It's just it's like just a thing these days. And so
fascinating.
I'm fascinated by it. And again, I was never wired that way, but I do not hate on those gays that like are like really into it.
I get it. I took pictures when I lost my virginity, but it was because I was in love.
You took pictures mm-hmm. of your sex?
Some of it, yeah.
I never.
Mm-hmm.
I've never recorded. There's a huge part of me that does not want to see me having sex. I don't.
It must be your butt, because that's the hugest part of you.
I don't know that I would be turned on by me having sex.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it would just really bother.
I could get your good angles.
It's kind of like...
I consider this a personal challenge.
It's kind of like recording this podcast. Like, I do it knowing that
you
I
don't want to hear your voice.
My voice. Right?
I'll get your good angles, babe. Trust me, I know where they are.
We're not recording. Again, I would rather... have sex with the window with like the curtains open so that
be
we
recorded.
Could potentially right. have somebody
get caught.
See us mm-hmm. than to
you're very interesting
have
in that
a recorded record of me having sex. That's disgusting.
Oh,
I mean, and I'm talking for myself, not for anybody. I'm just thinking about the idea of like me having a video of me having sex on my phone. And that just really grossed me out.
It's interesting. You are a sexy, sexy beast. So oh I don't gosh. Know why you would think that for even a second. Because you are incredible as a person and naked.
Thank you. And I, you know, choose to believe that anybody that has gotten to experience this saves that memory in their head, and that is the beginning and end of it. They don't need a recording of it, and that is it. But like, yeah, no, I'm not going to record myself having sex with you. Now that, I mean, not necessarily you. We're married, so like, we can essentially do whatever we want at this point.
Good to know.
No, I mean, we're married. Like, what's off the table at the, I mean, there are a few things, but like, what's off the table when once you're married, right? Because like, legally, you're supposed to do whatever like we come up with.
This is a very interesting take on marriage.
You don't think so?
I just haven't known this to be true of your flexibility.
I'm not flexible these
days. Because you're old.
I'm old. No, I'm totally flexible. I think we just got a couple things in the mail that lets you know that I'm very flexible these days.
We'll see how many months go by before you use
them. Oh, no, I plan on using them soon, as soon as stuff gets itself figured out.
Oh dear. Look at the map of where we are now, bordering right on TMI.
Way too much information.
The People's Republic of TMI.
But that being said, no, we're married. Like, we're supposed to like have fun and like do those like,
God willing,
wild fun things.
Yeah, you know I'm down for it.
Yeah, but you're very vanilla.
I'm not.
You are.
I'm not.
You think you're not.
I know I'm not.
There's like a very...
I'm just vanilla with you.
There's a very vanilla aspect to you. Like, very vanilla. Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with vanilla. Shout out to all the vanillas out there. And I'm not just talking about your skin color.
Oh, Lord.
But, no, there's a very... there's like a very... I don't know how to explain it. There's like a very like not current take on like this of sex that is like super interesting to me. So like a lot of people again these days are like, again, you know, super open relationships or sex toys in the bed or, you know, threesomes and just sex, like, not in a very... Just because you have sex on a couch doesn't mean you're not vanilla. Does that make sense? Like, if that makes any sense. And so... but there's, like, a very, like... There's a very straight-laced way that you approach sex. That's very interesting to me. It's fine. I like boundaries. Anyways, that's not what today's topic is about.
It's not, but I will challenge everything you just said, but not in this episode.
There's a very, I won't say vanilla aspect to me, but there's a very boundaried aspect that I have to it as well, which I understand.
But we all have our boundaries.
100%. But I know that a lot of mine is kind of rooted in comfortability and like feeling comfortable, right? Like feeling... right about the situation. That's all, because that's another one of my problems. I should probably seek a therapist. Is that like I've never been able to separate my emotions or my feelings from sex. Like some people are just really capable of like being like, whatever, it's just sex. That's never been how I've been programmed.
Well, some people are also able to recognize the feelings they're having during sex and use the act of sex to work through those feelings. And you can't do that either.
No, I can't do that.
And you hit a roadblock.
Well, I actually don't think that that's healthy at all. Like, I feel like it's escapism.
I'm not talking about, like, using sex to solve your problems. I'm talking about, like, being present in a moment where sex has triggered something and you, like, work on it in that moment. Like, I'm not saying use sex as the vehicle. I'm saying sex is already the vehicle and you get out of the car. You hit a roadblock.
You would have to give me an example offline, but... no, I think, like I said, I think it's a huge, I think people, and the article, let's get to
there's
that.
There's an article that we read?
There's a whole ass article. No, but the article that we read kind of expresses that as well, which is like super fascinating, is that.
Well, it's sex as an addiction.
Sex as an addiction, and how some people are like, again, use kind of these apps, i.e. Grindr and Scruff and all of these other things, as like a vehicle, to your point, to find and or meet people. But when this ends up happening, it's creating these like experiences and these Rolodexes of moments and fun times with these guys, it's also creating some addictions, like,
yeah,
even from a chemical level.
Yeah, and let's be clear. So this is not an anti hookup article. This is just an article that is pointing out that there is a feedback loop, right, that occurs when you use an app just for hooking up. And so it's the website's called Date Mix, but it's actually zoosk.com.
Isn't it Zooks?
Zoosk.
Yeah.
Zoosk. I'm just spelling it out. But it came out in March of this year, and it's how the gay hookup culture is affecting mental health in 2020. And it's really good because it gets into the history of, like, you know, when we used to use Craigslist and how that creates this forum for sort of judgment-free gay interaction, especially for people who aren't out or who live in areas where there's not a ton of gay people or places to congregate, like a bar. Mm-hmm. So it's super helpful that way. But what they talk about is how you can get on, an app, and they do use Grindr quite frequently as an example, whatever app you want to say. But the idea being that you get on one day, and because you have one good experience, which, you know, ultimately is an orgasm, you begin to associate that orgasm with that app. And so you're back on it again, and you could swipe all night and get no one, but you're still going to go back again. And it's because, not to get too much into the psychology, but we know intermittent reinforcement is the most effective reinforcement. So getting what you want sometimes from something like gambling, that's why people will win, you know, once and then blow everything over the next 5 minutes. Right.
Well, it's just
it reinforces things.
Well, it's just like the art of like masturbating, right? Like they, like a lot of sex therapists will suggest not doing the same rhythms or even the same patterns with masturbating. So like if you find yourself masturbating in the shower or while watching porn and things like that, it's always great to change that pattern every now and then, just so that your brain does not get accustomed to that particular visual stimulation every single time you need to climax or orgasm. Mm-hmm. Because what will happen is you'll get in an scenario when you're with a partner and you're not going to be able to climax or orgasm
unless they replicate exactly what rhythm, feeling, etc.
Correct.
Yeah.
And these are things that are like super, and so you have to kind of deprogram yourself during your sexual, or like do them in different rhythms and things like that to be able to make that happen. And that's much the same thing that's going on with these dating apps, because again, you're stimulating yourself by going on and the hunt and like finding the perfect profile and guy and the interaction. And so your brain is creating some sort of correlation between your orgasm and that experience that can become unhealthy, which is really bizarre. The other thing they talk about in this article that I thought was like super fascinating is that it prevents men from entering long-term relationships.
It can. Yeah, and the reason for that is there is a sex-first mentality.
Right.
So it's not to say that people can't hook up and discover someone who they can get into a long-term relationship with. It's that you spend so much time on an app that is devoted to hooking up to look for a long-term relationship that you don't actually spend time in the places where people who are looking for long-term relationships are going.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it can be, so it's almost like you have, like you had this goal, but because of all of the other experiences, your goal kind of took a back seat for all of the fun that you might be having. And again, more
nothing
power
wrong.
To you.
Yeah, again, nothing wrong with that.
Can't wait to look at that Rolodex. So it's like, it's a lot of fun. And then the other thing that they talk about, which I think is always an issue, is the common body image issues within the gay community. Especially since the typical profiles or desires consist of tall, young, white, muscular, and masculine men, right? Mm-hmm. This is kind of like the standard for interactions.
Right.
And so when you might have a little tummy or you might be a black man, there's really no room for you in that space, right? You kind of get
whatever room there is, it's secret.
Or whatever those rooms are, you're right. Fetishized, right. Which is also the huge issue. So it's like you're ending up interacting with these guys that want to have sex with you, not because they genuinely want to have sex with you, but it's because they needed to like get black man on their bingo card.
Exert power. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And yep. So it becomes like this huge issue. You know, they wanted to get, you know, chubby guy, you know, guy with a little bit of a belly on their bingo cart. And like those things are just like really dangerous and can be really detrimental to your mental, right? Like yeah. Those things can really harm you because here it is again, you're on there, you're looking for a relationship, you find someone that's talking to you. You think that the conversation and everything is like really fun. You kind of let yourself go just a teensy bit. And so you do end up sleeping with them within the second time that you guys interact with one another. And then what ends up happening? You get ghosted.
Right.
And then you're like, what the fuck happened? Like, I don't understand this. Like, I thought everything was good, but come to find out, he was not interested in that relationship with you. He was just interested in your body, your skin color. Your dick. Like, do you see what I'm saying?
Or your butt.
Or your butt. He just wanted those things. And that was it. That was it. You were just a pole or a hole. That was it.
And I will say, and it's not something that's mentioned in this article, but I would say too that there are so many things that happen that can affect your self-esteem on these apps that have literally nothing to do with you. Like someone could be going through something and just need physical touch for one night to like, you know, sort of disconnect from an issue they're having. So it may actually have nothing at all to do with you. Some people are also just children, you know, even though they're adults, they're children, you know, and this is as far as they can go. So, you know, not taking things personally and not seeking validation or a long-term relationship. This article actually cites a study that was done that said that people who use these apps just for hookups and do not seek long-term relationships there, who seek them actually elsewhere, have better self-esteem than the people and better just feelings of life overall than people who seek their long-term relationships in these hookup apps. So to be clear, hooking up, totally cool. No problem. Be consenting adults. Be honest about what you want. Long-term relationship, don't go to a hookup app.
No.
That's what we're learning.
And it's really funny because like I feel like I should have explored my hoe phase a little bit more, like in my ability to like hook up a lot more. Because I think that the only thing that I know is my sexuality of who I am in a relationship.
Mm.
I don't know who I am as a free spirit.
I mean, you could be a hoe with me anytime you want.
Right. And I think that older me is coming to terms with that, mm-hmm. right? I think older me is like really starting to realize
you can still do those things with someone that you are intimately trust, involved with.
Respect. Yeah,
like, you can love. Still, like, you can have, it's not even role play, it's like, it's just this aspect of yourself that is, I don't want to talk, I don't want, I just want, like, I want you and I to, like, go out, and you're going to wear something really great, because I like this outfit, or this whatever that yeah. you wear, and you're going to treat me like a stranger, I'm going to treat you like a stranger, and we're going to hook up, and we're not going to be husbands, or boyfriends, or friends, or whatever we are, you're just, we're going to screw in this particular type of way, and that's what we're going to do. And you can do that with people who aren't strangers. You yeah. can do it in long-term loving relationships. It's totally possible, and there's lots of books out there about just that.
Yeah. It's interesting. And again, I think older me is starting to come to terms with that and is like excited about
good
what that looks like.
Yeah.
The other thing I will say before we're done with this particular segment and
before we go hook up
amazing interview with the guys from the Category Is podcast is that the other thing that I think also really fucking sucked about being a younger gay, like especially like through like a person that lived through like the 90s mm-hmm. and the early 2000s is the AIDS epidemic.
Sure.
There was and we are recording this episode on World AIDS Day. And I think that it is really important to know and understand that the AIDS epidemic was massive, and its effects, the ripple effects that it did, especially on young gays, is that I just assumed that hooking up would lead to me having catching AIDS.
HIV, yeah.
HIV, totally. AIDS, or anything like that, and dying. Mm-hmm. And it was just something that was just fairly ingrained in our heads because it was all over the news the way that it was.
Well, because it was a reality.
It was a reality that was happening, but it was also a tool that was used to scare us out of being gay, right? Because I think a lot of our families believed that that was what was going to happen, and so you didn't want to be gay because you didn't want to scare them into thinking that you were going to die from AIDS, right? Like, that was just kind of a thing.
Sure.
And so hooking up was really scary for me because I was like, I very much so remember the condom, because I was that person that had the condom conversations. And it sounds so fuddy-duddy at this point in time because so many gays are not using condoms because PrEP is out there at this point. And so they just feel like being safe doesn't matter, but like that aspect of having sex does not need to be a thing.
Let's be very clear. Everyone should be safe. PrEP only protects against HIV, and it's not guaranteed, and it doesn't protect against other STIs.
Correct. But there's very few condom sex these days because of PrEP and all of that stuff. That's, which is crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. And we knew this was going to happen. But anyways, that being said, I very much so remember having the condom conversations with people. And it was a very difficult one because some people were like, I don't want it. It doesn't feel good and blah, blah, blah. And it's fine. And I don't have one. And I was always the person that was like, nah, can't do it. Like, I can't risk it. So anyways.
It's interesting. I never had to have the condom conversation because it was just a given that it was going to be there. And it only became a problem once. And I was like, well, then that just limits us to being able to do this and this. Now, having said that, you and I were not big fans of condoms, but that wasn't because we didn't like them. It was because right from the beginning, you and I knew
it was a relationship.
Was something special. This was unique. We respected each other. So even though condoms are very important, we didn't feel we needed them per se because we were both clean. We were only sleeping in with each other. And even though we knew that there was a risk in assuming that was true, we both believed it and still believe it to this day. Still to this day, when I go to see my doctor, he asks me if you and I use condoms and I tell him no.
Yeah.
And he's like, you should really use condoms. I'm like, I'm not using condoms with my husband. He's like, but you don't know who he's been with. I know. And if I didn't know, he wouldn't be my husband.
Well,
and at this point in my life, I wouldn't be sleeping with him.
Well, that's true. Well, that's funny because both of our primary care physicians are gay men.
It's true.
Which is hysterical. Which was
by accident for me.
Completely. Not for you. No, I actually sought one.
Yeah.
And then
mine was by accident.
But what cracks me up about it is I have the exact same conversation. Like, he's always like, well, are you sure though? And I'm like,
yeah.
Wow, is this what gay culture really is all about these days? Anyways, I think we did it. I think
did we solve all the world's problems?
I think we solved all the world's problems.
Wow.
I think
it only took us one night.
Everyone better understands hookup culture, and all the gays are going to do the right thing, and we're good. Yeah?
Condoms.
Let's take a short break, but we'll be back in just a bit.
And we'll be wearing condoms.
Yes, just for the fucks of it. If you haven't watched our weekly episodes of Relationshat already, I'm starting to think there is something seriously wrong with you.
Absolutely. How could you not want to see us every week?
Exactly. Every Friday on IGTV and YouTube, Tony and I further discuss the week's topic and theme of the podcast with another article and perspective for us all to chew on.
You can watch us talk about why it's important to continue celebrating anniversaries.
Or some of the best and worst relationship advice we've ever received.
Or even the importance of respect within a relationship and what to do if you feel like you're not getting it.
So make sure you're on Instagram or YouTube every Friday and you're watching Relationshat, our weekly after show about your favorite podcast, Relationshit.
Marco and I will see you there.
Bye. Bye. Hey everyone, it's the Critellis here with a quick reminder to head to your favorite podcast platform to rate and review Relationship.
Yep, your 5-star rating of the podcast helps make Relationship easy to find for those seeking the topics and information discussed in our episodes.
So, when you have a few minutes to spare, please hop on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to the podcast, and give us a 5-star rating and a glowing review, telling other listeners why you love the podcast so much.
Once a month, Marco and I are going to read some of our favorite reviews on an episode of the podcast, and yours could be picked.
Absolutely. If you're looking for your few seconds of fame, please go give the podcast a 5-star rating and exceptional review wherever you listen to Relationship.
And tune in every Wednesday to hear your review read on an episode of the podcast. We'll read them once a month, but we'll switch up which week we'll read them on the podcast just to keep you guessing.
We appreciate your continued love and support of us and Relationship.
Thank you so much. Bye. Bye.
All right, I'm so excited because today we are joined by the hosts of the Category Is podcast, Justin and Maurice. Hello, guys. How are you?
Hi. How are you, Marco and Tony?
Good. We're doing well. So excited to, in these COVID times, still be able to touch base and see each other's faces via Google Hangouts, you know,
the internet.
Gotta love technology these days, right?
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah. Just what you want to do after a day of being on, you know, Zoom calls, video calls. Well, I was trying to plug any one in particular, but yeah, video calls, and then you get to jump on this and do the same.
Yeah.
What interesting times.
It's so fun. So in our traditional introduction, we want for you guys to introduce each other. So tell us who your partner in podcasting is, and tell us what you enjoy the most about them. So we'll have Justin start. Justin, introduce Maurice to us.
Sure. Maurice is one of my oldest friends.
Oldest?
He's known me since I was very, you know, young, 21, when I was fresh at the bars, and that's when we met. We dated over a decade ago, very briefly, but since that crumbled, we became really, really great friends. He's one of my greatest confidants. He's messy and loves to gossip. And
notice he didn't deny any of that.
It's so funny because Maurice looks like such a chill, like cool, calm, collected person.
I am very chill.
So to hear he's messy is like so funny to me. I just don't see it, but I like it and I want more.
So messy, so shady, so nasty, and so rude.
Yeah, so rude.
I love him so much because he always keeps it real. And that's my really good friend, Maurice.
I love it. So Maurice.
Fire back.
That was one hell of an introduction. I don't know how to follow that up. But yeah, Justin is, we've known each other long, long time. We met at this bar that no longer exists here in Philadelphia at like happy hour. Bump. And yeah, it's called Bump. The very next day, so he got my number. He saw me across the bar and immediately came over, got my number. The next day we went out on a date, and the rest is history. 3 years we were together, and you know,
long 3 years, child.
Yeah, probably two and a half longer than I should have been, but but Justin and I have known each other for so long. We are, you know, we have that history of being in a relationship, but then transitioning into being really, really good friends. Justin is very spontaneous. He's very just like get up and go. And I think that's what I enjoy the most about him, is because I'm so much like not. I'm like more the have to plan it out. We have to do it, you know, step by step. And Justin is, you know, literally like, let's just get up and just go and do whatever. So that's probably what I
what are you guys' signs? Justin, what's your sign?
I'm an Aries sun with a Taurus moon and a Virgo rising.
Okay, and what about Maurice, what's your sign?
You never stood a chance.
Right. I'm just a regular Cancer. I don't know any other stuff. That's it.
I figured as much. That is so... But, I mean, we have so many questions and so many things to talk about because I'm so fascinated. Me personally, I'm fascinated at the fact that you guys in true gay form, right? Because only gay people, only in the gay community can you, like, date someone and then break up with them, but then still be, like, really, really good friends with them. And because that just doesn't happen in straight world. You know, it just not doesn't. At all. So, but like, not only are you guys like broken up friends, but you guys are also like podcast like friend. Like you guys have like things
you have a project together.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you couldn't put a ring on it, but you put a podcast on it. So that's cute.
Put a ring light on.
Yeah.
Well done. Well done.
So well played. So well played. From the very beginning, let's just talk. So where are you both from? Justin, where are you from?
I'm from Jersey, born and raised. I'm a proud Jersey boy. I will never claim any place but Jersey.
Oh. So yes, proud.
So proud. Absolutely. It's a great state.
So we live in New York, and of course, you know, the New York-New Jersey beef that takes place is a real one. So I won't hold it to you that you're from New Jersey. I won't hold that against you.
And he won't hold it against us that we're in New York.
Yeah. what part of New Jersey?
I grew up in Atlantic City, believe it or not. So I grew up, you know, by the casinos. I used to work for that orange person at the casinos. So,
I like it.
But it was a fun place.
So I like you a little bit more because I grew up in Las Vegas. And so that whole like casino life and things like that, you and I are like, we're on the same page with that. So
exactly.
Maurice, where are you from?
I am from South Carolina.
I knew you were going to say something like that.
What else is like that?
I knew it was gonna be. I thought it was gonna
be. Don't just say North Carolina,
like South Carolina or like Missouri or something that. There's like a very like seriousness about you that like screams Southern boy, which I get.
Yeah. So I'm from. It's a small town. It's called Dillon, South Carolina. So if you know where Myrtle Beach.
Yep.
It's about 45 minutes like west of Myrtle Beach.
Okay.
Yeah. Small town's like 3,000 people.
Wow.
That's bigger than the small town I was in North Carolina. So you're doing good.
There you go.
That's cool. And so what was it like for you both growing up and coming to terms with your queer identity? Because I can't imagine, you know, being a young Black boy in South Carolina, that was super easy for you, right?
Yeah, it was, you know, we grew up in the church. You know, my dad took us, I have two brothers, older brother and younger brother. We were in church, you know, every Sunday, all day. And, you know, when you grow up in church, it's just church. It's like that. You know, that biblical society where everything is, they're just so judgy, and, you know, at least one, two Sundays a month, you get that, you know, anti-gay kind of sermon. So that was one thing. And then, you know, growing up, two brothers who are like super, super just, you know, the typical into sports, you know, into girls, into all of this. And I just was not. Yeah. And so you had like that growing up, and, you know, just the society as a whole, just very, oppressive, I would say. So, you know, knowing that I was a gay boy and just not, you know, being able to live and be my true authentic self, you know, you kind of know you're different, you know, from the beginning, but you kind of don't really know how to put a label on it. And the instant reaction is just, I'm different. I'm just going to repress that and keep that, push that down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you have these messages coming from just society and church and this and that. And it just is not the best. Well, for me, it wasn't the best place to like live authentically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so at what age? Yeah. So at like what age did you come to your queer identity? How did your family handle it? And then when did you decide to flee?
From a young age, I decided that wasn't the environment for me. So I knew at some point I would escape. I didn't know when. And so I would say even through college, I still had like girlfriends. But, you know, deep down, you're like, you know,
I mean, we've all dabbled in heterosexuality.
Yeah. And so, you know, then at the same time, you're kind of coming into your own, especially in college where that environment is more, you're able to kind of be more of yourself. Now fast forward, I was actually outed. And so I didn't get stories.
Oh my God.
I yeah. These
stories so much. Cause it literally like makes me start sweating.
I just got
like,
anxiety.
Oh my yeah. God, that is
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Continue, please.
Yeah. So I was outed and I was, kind of seeing this guy like off and on. We went to the same school. It was, you know, it was when you go to like a predominantly white school, you're the black community is only so big. So, you know, everybody knows everyone. So we were like off and on for like maybe a couple of years. And after I graduated, but you know, you still kind of, you know, everybody who still goes there. And, this girl who went to like the, campus that was, you know, like down the street from us saw me at an event, and I was with this new guy that I was dating who, I guess he was very out, you know, he was very proud. So everyone on his campus knew he was gay. And she called up, you know, back to my school, and like the next day it was just completely out. Everybody knew, and it's a traumatic experience because, you know, when someone kind of takes that from you, like I didn't get the ability to, you know, tell my story and tell my truth in the way I wanted to. Sure. And at the time when I was ready. So that in that process, I lost a lot of friends. I lost a lot of people who, you know, I thought were, you know, there for me, and, you know, we had this great relationship. Like people were talking shit behind my back. Like I would see all these messages on Facebook. Like I got unfriended by like a ton of people.
Wow.
And it just, you know, like really, you know, it really hurt me. And I think that, you know, the people who were definitely down for me, like my ride or die friends, that's why I don't have like that many friends today. I'm very, very cautious about who I call a friend now. And so like the people who were there for me, who like stuck by me, like it really taught me a lot about, you know, friendships and the importance of that. And so throughout that experience, I had, you know, to like rush and tell my family and tell, you know, everyone. And so when I was on the phone with my mom, like telling her, she shocked me because, you know, we were from the Southern community, very small. You know, she is from the town that I grew up in. So, you know, she's been there her whole life. And I told her I was gay and she said, "Oh my God, I'm so happy.
Wow.
I'm so,
I love you that.
Know, thrilled." And I'm on the phone, like silent because, you know, that was just not the reaction I was expecting. And, you know, she just, you know, says, "I'm so proud of you that you finally, you know, had the courage to tell me," because, you know, mom, she's like, "I already knew."
Mm-hmm.
"I was just waiting for you to tell me." And so, you know, when I finally did, she was just so happy that I could be me.
I love that.
Yeah.
Good That's for great. You.
And what about your dad? I'm assuming not the same.
Well, so my dad actually passed away before I could tell him, but like the last time I saw him, we didn't have like the best relationship growing up. I think mainly because I knew I was gay and he probably knew it too. So I was kind of disconnected and he didn't really know how to, you know, deal with that, especially having my two like uber hetero brothers. And so the last time I saw him, like our relationship actually like had gotten better over the course of the years. Cause he, had some health issues, so his health was declining. You know, you kind of know when the end is coming. So, you know, our last conversation was like really like that transformative conversation I was waiting for, you know, because I never said like, "Hey, I'm gay," and, you know, this is it, because I didn't want that to kind of be like our last topic of conversation. But, you know, he was just like, I know, you know, I haven't been the kind of father I guess you hoped for, or, you know, that I think you were hoping for, but I love you, you know, regardless. And, aww, you know, just, he said the things that kind of let me know that he knew, right, without me saying it. Right. Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. And what about you, Justin? Well,
what about your brothers?
So I think my older brother had more of a difficulty with it because, like, we were so close growing up. Like, we were, we went to the same college. We, mm-hmm, you know, were in the same fraternity. We had the same group of friends, mm-hmm, and, like, we talk on the phone every day. So when he heard it from someone else, I think he just had a little, like, oh, I thought we were closer than that, or, you know, mm-hmm, we just. So it took him a little while to come around to it. But my younger brother, who was just, like, very nonchalant and, like, he didn't care about anything, he actually tried to hook me up with one of his friends. <That's terrible. laughs> come out. Yeah, so his friend had come out to him, like, maybe a couple months before I came out. And he's like, you're gay, he's gay.
That standard heterosexual.
Yeah, that just makes sense,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But, awesome. But, and what about you, like, Justin? Cool, what was it like growing up in Atlantic City for you?
Yeah.
What was that whole experience?
I don't know. I was teased a lot as a kid for being, you know, effeminate and not really liking the most boy things. I always hung out with the girls. They were like my protectors in middle school and high school.
Yeah.
When everything was really vicious. But I think I waited until I went to college to come out. Because I felt like, you know, I went to college in Philly, and it was just a bigger city. There was more gay spaces, more affirming spaces, more people like me. And it was just great to have that. And I think that I came out to my family, I think, like, maybe like around Thanksgiving freshman year. And I think I told my mother first, and she's like, okay, all right. Like, I think it was a pill for her to swallow. And I was like, oh, I thought you kind of knew. But she said she absolutely had no idea. Then I told my two younger sisters next.
Maurice, why you gotta make that face?
y'all can't see it, but
so that's the shadiness that you're talking
there's
about.
That, there's that mess. Yeah.
There is the mess.
Okay. Don't step in it.
Not Maurice scrunching his face in question. I love that.
I mean, after I came out, you know, successive, then I came out to my sisters, they were cool, then other members of my family, extended members of my friend group, coming back out to my high school friends, and I kind of, like, felt silly, because it felt like I had, maybe to Maurice's point, been living in this glass closet this whole time, thinking that I'm holding this secret, thinking that no one knows, and then I would, you know, had built up all this emotion and all this apprehension about revealing who I actually was and coming to terms with myself. And when I finally built up the courage to tell people, it was a big letdown because they didn't care. They already knew, but it was just a non-conversation. So it was my coming out story was super anticlimactic. Aww. You know, I live for the drama. I wanted some drama, but you know, you're right.
You wanted a Real Housewives moment. That's what you were looking for.
That's what you wanted.
No, I mean, you know, thankfully, right? Your coming out moment wasn't chaotic because it very well could have been, and it could have been a completely different story. But at the same time, I can understand where you're like, I thought this was supposed to be like a thing. I didn't cry any time. I didn't cry.
Where's my parade?
No
damn it!
One cried. There was nothing. Like everything, you know, everything was just, it was just weird. So no, I get it.
I bet you went crazy when you went to your first pride. You were like, "That's what I was looking for."
Exactly. That's what I wanted. I wanted, you know, the whole flow, the trombones. Yeah, I wanted all that.
He said trombones. I love that. That's amazing. And so you went to college, Justin, you went to college in Philly.
Yes.
And then Maurice, you did as well?
No, I went to a college down south.
Yeah, okay.
How did you end up in? I moved to Philly.
Hmm?
So I moved to Philadelphia in 2008.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like right as the economy was crashing. I moved in like the middle of a snowstorm and I caught the flu my first week here in Philly. Yeah.
Best way to lose weight. It's my favorite.
You get snatched.
Yes. Like snatched. It's so, I mean, oh, it's just so good. I'm like, oh, I'm just one head cold away from my goal weight.
Disclaimer: the flu is not a healthy means.
It is definitely a dietary supplement.
Do not attempt to get sick during the time of COVID.
Right. I love it. Okay, so I'm sorry you were getting snatched in 2008.
Yes, and I moved here in 2008. But I really didn't like get settled and like start even, you know, going out until that was February. So probably like November, December.
Wow.
Of 2008. Yeah. It was my first time in the big city. You know, it was, you know, scary to me. And it was just, you know, a whole new experience. Yeah. So, you know, it took me a while. And then, you know, once, because, you know, that was when the economic crisis was happening, so it was like find a job, you know, get this together, get your apartment together, get all the stuff in line, and then like once I got all that together, it's like okay,
yeah,
now it's time to go out.
Now yeah, you're nice and snatched now. Now you can go out and exactly. Be amongst the people.
Exactly.
What is the age difference between you two?
Oh, he's much older than I am. Like, what? Yeah. It's like 7 or 8 years, right?
Six or seven.
I think it's 6 or 7. Well, I'm 33. I'm 33, so and you're six yeah. years. Okay. Yeah.
This is what I love about Black, because it just does not crack
it at all. Because both of
y'all. No, it's so true. Because, but first of all, like, Justin, you look like you're a whole ass baby. Like, literally, you look like you're. Because I like was convinced you were like 25, 26 years old. And no. Then, yeah, and then Maurice, like, I was like, oh, he's probably like 32, 33 years old. Like, that, you guys, you both look so young.
Thank you. So amazing. Thank you.
I love Black people. And so, no, so that's amazing. So, Justin, you were 21 years old and you were in the bar, and then mm-hmm. you looked across the bar. And saw a chocolate Maurice, a snatched chocolate Maurice standing across the bar. And what happened?
I'm just the kind of person, I'm very aggressive. If I see something I like, I go for it. It's in all aspects of life. So I just walked across the bar and was very, like, as a matter of fact, and like, let me get your number. Let's go on a date tomorrow. I don't really like to waste time with those kinds of things.
Mm. Okay.
So, and then that was that. I mean, I was just 21. It was my first relationship.
It was like right before your birthday, too, I think.
No, we met January 20th, 2009.
Yeah.
So I turned 22 in March.
A couple months later.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Interesting. And so, Maurice, what did you think when you saw Justin? What, like, here comes this hurricane, right? Like, he's coming up and he is taking some lives. And so, what did you think?
So it happened so fast because there was like this column like right here, and I was talking to this person here, and I when I happened to look back to my left, he was like right here. And it scared me. I was like, oh
yeah.
And so it was the aggressiveness, I think, was a bit interesting at first because it was like, like, I must be like, you know, wow, I got it. And so, you know, I was new to the city, so I was pretty much open to, you know, giving my number out at the bar, going on a date the next day. So it was, you know, it was a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you guys dated for 3 years, to which Maurice said was about 2.5 years longer than it should have been. And Justin, why is that? Why is that?
You know, I was 22. I was super young. And I had this idea that I was a lot more mature and more adult than I actually was. And I think that I had a lot of friends who were older, closer to Maurice's age. And I really just didn't connect with people my age. So I felt like I was ready for a lot of things that I probably and honestly was not ready for. And I think that... What? What do you have to say, Maurice? Okay. I think that, you know, throughout the course of our relationship... There was just, I think that we kind of both wanted different things. I was super immature.
Maurice, there fixed was, your face. Yes. Okay.
I'm sorry. No, there was definitely like communication issues. I felt like there was this tension between us because he was older and I felt like he was always trying to exert power over me and I didn't like that. And then there was infidelity on my behalf that happened throughout the course of the relationship. And sure. I think that... it was too much for me at that young. I don't think that I was ready for what he wanted. I thought I was, but when it came down to it, I really wasn't ready to put in that work. I was still trying to be out there in those streets. And you to were. A certain degree. And I was. And I was, and I own that. I'm not saying that I did. And I own that.
Yeah. No, I get it. So I met Tony when I was. So Tony and I have been together for 11 years. I met him when I was when I was 25 and he was 27. And so like you would think that that was like over the maturity hump, right? Like, you're like not, you're not quite, you know, 21, 22, 23 anymore. So like, you would think that like, that would mean, you know, I'm ready. I got this. I got a man now. I'm good, kind of thing like that. And no, I was 25. So I was like, still like wanting to go to the bar. And I've always been, kind of like a one person kind of guy, right? Like I never it was never a matter of me needing to like quote unquote be in those streets. Like I wasn't like trying to flirt or like, you know, have fun with other guys. It was just always wanting me to like be out and about. I wasn't ready to be like somebody's boo or bae. Like I didn't want to like sit at home watching movies and cooking all the time. I wanted to be in the club.
He still doesn't want to do those things.
I did not want that. I wanted to just be out. I wanted to talk to people. I wanted to meet people. I wanted to be and do all those things. And Tony was like, hi, remember me, your boyfriend, the guy that like you live with? And I was like, well, come out to the bar with me. And he was like, no.
Like,
I still remember asking you that question. Does that sound like something that you would do when you respect the relationship you're in?
I remember that.
And you were like, no.
It was what it was. So I get it. I do get where that comes from. I get where that comes from. So.
We had that exact same dynamic. Again, I loved going out to the bars and being social. And, you know, with going to the bars comes flirting. And Maurice just was a homebody. He still is a homebody.
I still am.
And I still like to be out in these streets, you know, like taking health precautions. I wear my mask. I can do it, you know, harm reduction during COVID. But I'm just a very sociable, outgoing person.
I get it. I get it. That makes all the sense to me. no, that makes all the sense. I totally get this. So then you guys broke up, and was it immediately after you broke up that you dove into being friends, or how did that come about?
No, so we broke up, I think it was in November. And
yes, it was November, my first year of law school.
Wait, was it a messy breakup or was it just like an amicable, like, we just need to?
No, girl.
I just met you, but if I know anything about Justin was going to have his Real Housewives moment.
I got it. It was messy. You broke up with me my first year of law school, which is very, very like aggressive. It's a pressure cooker. And it was the night before my civil procedure final. And I'm like, you could have waited till my finals were over to break up with me. I was just very it was a highly emotional state. And but there was lots of tears, lots of shouting, maybe some like things were thrown and taken.
No, there wasn't none of that.
Maybe that was one of the other times. I probably did fall out.
And I was looking at you like, can you, like...
There were some theatrics. But what I do remember is after we broke up, I know that there was some therapy. There was lots of tears. Mm-hmm. And we didn't talk for a good 6 months.
It was... Like the next summer, we didn't talk. Yeah.
We didn't talk until the following summer. Mm-hmm. And I remember that we met at a restaurant on Rittenhouse Square, and he basically wanted to just talk about how things had transpired during the breakup. And I had about like 7 or 8 months worth of like, you know, therapy and, you know, unsaid things that I needed to get off my chest.
I thought you were going to say you had about 6 or 7 drinks. And so I was like, oh, this is getting ready to get real good.
I did have to have some liquid courage, but I remember, like, I basically just, like, cursed him out because I needed to do that for myself.
Yeah.
And then after that, after I got those things off my chest, I was like, okay, now we can begin to build a friendship. But even building a friendship took a couple of years to kind of get that going. We had to reestablish boundaries and redraw them every couple of months. Like, even when we began being friends, he was dating someone new, and I didn't want to hear about who he was dating at that time. Mm-hmm. Because I wasn't ready to take that on. No, it just wasn't appropriate.
But I
was willing to be friends, but I think I had never been friends with someone that I was romantically involved with. And I think unpacking those feelings and repacking them took a lot of work on both our behalves. And it did take...
I think more so for maybe on your end, because throughout the relationship and, you know, all of the sagas that we went through leading up to the breakup, I think by the time we had gotten to the breakup, I was over it.
Oh, yeah, you were gone.
I had already processed all of the feelings and emotions, and, you know, we tried to work it out, and we tried this, and we tried for months at a time, and it just never got there. And so I had already packed that up in the box, and that was...
You guys do a lot of packing.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
A lot of packing. I like moving.
Well, go ahead, Maurice.
You know, I was going to say, so yeah, in that transition of like becoming friends, I feel like it was more easy for me because I had already compartmentalized that, whereas Justin, I think, was kind of more... Like, he still had the things he wanted to say and that he still felt and he wanted to get out. So I think that was probably why it was took a little bit longer on your end.
Right.
Yeah.
That's accurate.
And then so how do other people feel when they date you about your relationship with each other?
Yeah, because you both have partners now, I should say, correct?
Yes.
Mine's a partner. Yours a boyfriend?
Oh, don't do that. I don't subscribe to the partner thing. I'm not married, right? And to me, a partner is someone in a law firm or a business partner. Mm. Either you're my boyfriend or my fiance or my husband. Mm. So I don't even subscribe to that. So yes, I have a boyfriend. I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of my boyfriend. But I think that, you know, in past relationships, I remember like my first boyfriend after Maurice. There was a lot of tension there with like...
Not for me.
Not on your end, but me having to explain to my new boyfriend like our friendship. It didn't make sense to him. He was like, well, why are you going to hang out with him all the time? Why are you going to his apartment? Why are you there at 8 o'clock at night? And like, I kept trying to reassure him that we're just friends. I was like, come out to dinner with us. See us interact. Like, get to know him and our dynamic. And I did what I could to make him feel comfortable. I think I even kind of, like, stepped back from me and Maurice's friendship at one point.
Well, that's because I called him trash.
Well, yeah. But that goes to the other point that...
I'm starting to see the messy.
So messy. And Maurice and I have talked about this as friends, but you know, I've had a few boyfriends after we broke up, and I was like, you know, I always feel like you don't support my new boyfriend. So I feel like he always has something messy and shady to say. And No, not in totality.
That's true.
But I feel like I've always accepted his partners, his new fiancés, you know, and people in his life, but he just didn't, you know, reciprocate that. And it kind of caused tension within our friendship. And I always felt like he felt like no matter who else I dated, no one would live up to him or be as good as him. But
still true.
Well, that's not true.
Okay. Wait a second. Okay. Justin, how long have you and your current boyfriend been together?
We've been together for 6 months now, so it's still fun and new and fresh.
Yeah. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Maurice.
Yes.
How long? Okay, so you are unfianced. Is this correct?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. No. So you're just, how long have you been? Not this one. So it's happened before.
Yeah.
Okay. So
Justin is getting all the life right now.
So how long have you and your current boyfriend been together? Your partner?
Almost 4 years.
Almost 4 years. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
And does Justin get along with your current partner? Yes?
No, he's only seen him once, right?
I've met him a few times. We've hung out a few times.
Wait, and you both live in Philly, right?
Yeah. I mean, but I just think it's just... I think that our friendship's our friendship, and I don't really feel the need to kind of bring... our others around. I don't know. I've met him a few times.
I think so.
In 4 years, I'm sorry, I'm just a little confused. So in like 4 years, and
is that
and,
what you are? Is confused?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm just trying to understand because like you guys have like a podcast together, and you guys are like fairly close and stuff like that together. So in 4 years, you've been with someone, and Justin's only interacted with this person a few times.
Yeah, maybe twice.
How often do the two of you hang out pre-COVID?
We record like once a week. Hang out.
Sure, yeah.
Have either of you ever dated someone where like the three of you got along?
I don't think so.
No.
You know, I don't. So I'm sure.
I'm fascinated by this. I don't know if you guys can tell.
Yeah, right. I'm sure that there are some people who might judge that.
I'm not judging. I'm not. It's not even that I'm judging it. It's that I'm just like. It's just. It's kind of mind-boggling to me. Just in terms of like how that works out.
But like, think about everyone that we've ever known. How often did we both get along with one, let alone both, of someone else?
But I don't know if
I just don't think it's that uncommon.
I don't know. It's not even that I think that it's uncommon. It's, I think, more so than anything for me, and my opinion is literally shit, so it doesn't even matter. But like, I think more than anything, it's just fascinating to me because you guys have such a great relationship. You two have such a great relationship.
You're so important to each other.
You're so important to each other. Mm-hmm. There's like this like really cool dynamic that you have together. And so it's just so fascinating to me that you would have, partners, boyfriends, relationships outside of this that kind of live outside of this dynamic. I would understand if, you know, your 6 month boyfriend does not necessarily, know Mari's to that level, but like your 4 year boyfriend, and it's only been like twice. That's just fascinating to me that like that just hasn't happened. To that level.
No, it's like I definitely even like with my friends, I keep things very separate. Like I
have another friend that does that too.
I have a very small friend group, but I'm friends like have individual relationships with every single one of them. We don't necessarily like we're not like a clique, and we don't have this friend group where we all hang out together at the same time. And I also keep my relationship kind of separate. Like that's my relationship with him.
Sure.
I think I had like two parties or something, and everyone came together.
Right.
So I think those are the two times that you met him.
Well, that's what I was going to ask is like your birthday.
All Maurice's relationships are pretty like singular one-on-one. And I think he does really good with like building relationships in that one-on-one kind of an atmosphere. And I think that's what gives the depth to the relationships that he's able to cultivate with people. That's why we are such good friends. And I think that's confusing and odd for some people to understand. Mm-hmm. But I just always kind of accepted that that's just how he is. I'm definitely much more of the social butterfly, more of the communal, bring everyone together person. Yeah.
Same. But so that's a very mean thing. Like, all my friends know everyone. Yeah. Like know each other. Yeah. Like, everyone kind of, like, interacts with one another and, like, the space where everyone can kind of, like, text or DM or follow each other on Instagram or, like, hang out and do those kinds of things. And so it's... like I said, it's just, and again, no judgment. It's just super fascinating to me that is a dynamic. That's crazy. Yeah. P.S. Justin, has anyone ever told you that you look like, there are certain moments that I look at you and you look like Jesse Williams? Do people tell you that?
No. Jesse Smollett.
Oh, I can say that. You look like Jesse Williams more than you look like Jesse Smollett.
Totally.
Thank you. That is such a compliment. I have such a crush.
He's super hot.
Yeah, there's certain moments, especially when you smile, like, you really look just like him. I was like, oh my god, you look just like Jesse Smollett. That's like amazing. I love it. That is awesome. You guys are fun. I have so many more questions, so much to talk about you guys. But you guys, we would literally be on here for like 3 hours, and I would need more cocktails. Because they're so fascinating. So really quickly, let us know a little bit more about your podcast and what y'all talk about, because it's super cute and I love everything. Tell us more about the podcast.
Go ahead, Maurice.
Okay. Our podcast is called Category Is. It's an homage to Paris is Burning, where, you know, you go through the categories at a ball, and that's how we present the different topics that we talk about each week, because we do have such different perspectives on life, if you have not through this conversation. Yeah. And so, you know, we just talk about pop culture, politics, relationships, anything. Nothing is off limits. So yeah, our episodes come out Wednesdays at noon. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter at Category Is Pod.
Love, love, love. The other thing I'm really fascinated with, you both are such super intelligent and incredibly, like, just like very great packaged people in general. And I just,
it's all that packing and unpacking they do.
That's all that packing. No, I just love it. Like, super, super intelligent and incredibly successful. Like, I just am so fascinated and very, very thankful to have gotten to meet you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for having us. You should come to Philly. No, our COVID hit rate's a little bit high.
Yeah,
we're locking down.
We were this was supposed to be our year of, like, quick local, like, travel. Little local, like, fun travel. So, like, we had a trip to Philly planned.
Provincetown, South Carolina.
We were supposed to go to, like, New Orleans and all kinds of stuff like that too. So Philly was on the list. So once COVIDisha, I've renamed her. Her name is COVIDisha. But once COVID goes away, we will definitely make a trip to Philly.
For sure. We'll let you know when we're coming, for sure. It would be so much fun.
Absolutely.
And then hopefully, like, you guys can all bring your boyfriends together, and it'll be like the third time that everyone meets everyone.
And Maurice and I will go leave all of you alone, and we'll go talk in a corner.
I love it. You see what I say? I just had to throw a little shade at the end of it, which would have been funny.
I hear they like that. I hear they're messy.
I love it. Justin and Maurice, we want to thank y'all so much for being a part of our podcast, and thank you so much for having us on yours.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure.
Yeah, it's so much fun.
That was such a good time. Awesome. So we are going to end it here and take a quick break. We'll be back in just a bit. So if you're anything like me, then you love buying things.
I don't think anybody likes buying things as much as you do.
I will take that as an accolade. Thank you.
Take it however you want.
That said, I like buying things and find even more pleasure buying from LGBTQ plus businesses and services.
That's why once a month, Marco and I host a mini-sode under the relationship umbrella called hashtag queer biz, and we need your help.
If you are a business owner or like shopping from an LGBTQ plus business or service, please reach out to us.
Head to our website, podrelationship.com, right now and submit your favorite queer business or service right there on our site.
On the third Friday of every month, a new episode of hashtag queer biz will air, where we will talk to a queer business owner about their business or service.
Our goal is to connect you all with people within the community that you can support and lift up by shopping from or utilizing their business or service.
So head to podrelationship.com today and submit a hashtag queer biz for the next episode of our monthly minisode.
And don't forget to check out the businesses we've already highlighted. Their information is on our website, so go give them a little love when you can.
We thank you for supporting our LGBTQ plus family. If your partner is driving you crazy,
or your dating life is more tragedy than romance,
we would love to hear from you. Tony and I are definitely not experts,
and we don't claim to have all the answers,
but we do have experience. Just think of us as friends that give you guidance over cocktails.
Head to our website, podrelationship.com, today and submit a listener situation right on the site.
Or email us at relationshipquestions@gmail.com and air out all your grievances.
On the third Wednesday of every month, Marco and I will read listener situations on that episode of the podcast. We'll do our best to give you some guidance, and if nothing else, a little perspective.
If your friends can't hear about your boyfriend drama anymore, or you think you've tried everything you can with your girlfriend, know that you have us to lean on.
So head to podrelationship.com or email us at relationshipquestions@gmail.com right now and tell us what's going on in your life.
We won't solve all your problems, but we'll definitely help you out as best we can.
We look forward to hearing from you. So that's going to do it for this week's episode.
Thanks for tuning in and being a part of this really important conversation.
Make sure you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Pod Relationship. And don't forget to subscribe and rate us. And send us something from our Amazon Christmas list.
We have an Amazon Christmas list?
We do now.
Oh, okay. If you have any situations or comments that you'd like us to address on the show, you can email us at relationshipquestions@gmail.com or submit on our website, podrelationship.com.
And don't forget to check out our YouTube and IGTV channels, Relation Chat, for behind-the-scenes post-show conversation about this week's episode.
A special thank you to our Patreon members. We hope you enjoyed the early access to the episode and the behind-the-scenes interview with this week's guests. Tony and I will harass your ears next week.
And remember, your shit stinks too.
Ooh, does it ever.
If you haven't become a patron or you're not donating to the Relationship Podcast Patreon account, I'm starting to question your decisions about life.
Same. I don't understand why you wouldn't want to be a part of all the fun we have on our episodes on Patreon, and you can't even listen to them unless you become a Patreon member.
Yep. Every week we do a rapid-fire Q&A with the week's guests and find out a little more about them while having a few laughs and lots of aha moments.
Oh my god, yes. Questions like, what book or movie title would describe your sex life? Or, what is your best and worst qualities? Are sure to make you laugh out loud.
And once a month, Marco and I get on for another edition of Critelli Crap, our very own version of listener situations, where we act as a listener with a problem from our own relationship and seek neutral, non-offended advice from one another as if we were friends, not husbands.
That has quickly become my favorite segment.
Me too, although I worry about it sometimes.
So head to patreon.com/podrelationship today and start donating as little as $5 a month for extra content separate from the podcast. Your donations give you access to the weekly episodes and early access to the podcast episodes as well.
Yep, that's patreon.com/podrelationship for more content from your favorite hosts.
We look forward to receiving your money.
I mean, that's one way to put it.
Bye, y'all.